Our guest is Chris Constantinos, Chief Investment Strategist and Director of International Equity at Riverfront Investment Group. Chris, in the last hour of Bloomberg Daybreak Asia, we talked a lot about technicals and about confidence. I want to talk a little bit now about relative value. David just mentioned that the ASX 200 down about 2.6%. On a relative basis, we outperformed yesterday in Asia, and we look like we might be getting off to that kind of start today. Do you look outside the U.S. at this point?
I think you sort of have to for a number of reasons, and you touched on valuations. Let's go there first. On our metrics, non-U.S. stock valuations relative to U.S. valuations are at the widest gap in, you know, at least the 35 years of data that we have. There's a 4-multiple-point gap between the S&P 500 on forward earnings and MSCI All World ex-U.S., and we think that gap closes in a positive manner, meaning that over the next 3 to 5 years, international stocks have some multiple expansion versus the U.S. collapsing.
So, Chris, do you buy at these levels?
Well, you know, Let me first start off by saying that we don't think the bull market is over for three reasons. We don't think bond yields have risen high enough yet to challenge valuations. We think that central bank monetary policy, particularly outside the U.S., is still accommodative. And we don't think that a recession is on the horizon either in the U.S. or globally. Having said that, you know, this pullback could continue on simply because, you know, from the magnitude perspective, we haven't even hit a what would be considered a minimum retracement, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. You know, I mean, it's not even a 10%
right.
pullback yet. So it depends on your time horizon, right? In the very near term, this could get worse before it gets better. But intermediate to long term, yeah, we think this is going to create a buying opportunity.
And if we look at the Fed, they're more concerned about the economy than the markets, but obviously there is a transmission effect, the wealth effect. If you see your portfolio drop 10% in a week, you may spend a little bit less. How much is the Fed looking at this?
I think behind the scenes, I do think they pay a little bit more closer attention to the markets than they let on. But at the end of the day, if you look at consumer confidence in the U.S., and this is true globally too, but particularly in the U.S., consumer confidence is very strong right now. I think it's going to take more than a 10% pullback to really, really damage U.S. confidence, especially when, you know, what started all of this on Friday? Well, you know, wage numbers are better than expected. You know, average hours worked are better than expected. That's actually a good thing.
Chris, it's obviously impossible to pinpoint the exact trigger of the sell-off, though what seems to generally be consistent, at least from the analysts that I've spoken to, is the bear steepening in the yield curves and how that's essentially tightening financial conditions. Do I look at that and a steepening there as counterproductive to equities, at least over the near term?
Maybe over the near term, but let me push back on that a little bit, because it wasn't that long ago that we were talking that everyone was talking about how scary a flattening yield curve and how that was portending some sort of economic downturn. All of a sudden, we have the yield curve steepening, and everybody's freaked out about that. I think the way we're looking at it, at least currently, is that the steepening effect is really the market saying that economic growth is on the upswing and is continuing to get better, which. Again, I would go back to the point I made on a segment a couple minutes ago. As long as rates don't go through the roof, historically speaking, high valuation multiples can be supported given where, you know, given a 10-year treasury yield between, call it, you know, 2.5% and 3.5%. That's generally speaking quite good for equities. So, you know, I think we try to assign reasons for these sell-offs. The truth is, I think it's more surprising that the market went up as parabolically as it did in the first four weeks of this year than it is that we're getting volatility coming back. I think all of us were sort of waiting for that.
We've given all that back now, so we're actually down for the year on Wall Street. When David asked you point blank whether you would buy now, you hedged a little bit. So let's talk about the conditions under which we would go back into the markets. I suggested that, you know, some people might look at real value. Some people might look at the stocks that had sold down the most, others that held up well. How do you weigh through that?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, a lot of us are in risk management mode, not because we're not constructive on the fundamentals, but rather because we've been around long enough to know that the market is the final arbiter of who's right or wrong, not we are. So that's why we have risk management disciplines regardless of our fundamental views, and that's kind of the mode we're in right now. Now, when the dust settles, which we expect it will, and we're looking for, you know, for things to buy, our view is that you're going to want to gravitate towards where the fundamentals are the best relative to the price you're paying. And that's a big distinction there, right? For us, that's non-U.S. because what we see, you know, let's take the sell-off. Everyone's scared about inflation all of a sudden. Where is inflation least of a bugaboo? We think it's in places like Europe and Japan. If you look at core inflation rates in those countries and those regions, you're not talking about 2%. I mean, you're still at core inflation levels at 1% or under. So therefore, you know, that's a place where the monetary policy can remain accommodative, and you're buying these stocks at big discounts relative to where they typically trade to the U.S., that's probably going to be the first place we're going to be fishing for value when the dust settles.
Chris, I know you're an equities guy, but since you alluded to that, you know, I guess the lack of core inflation in places like Europe and Japan, do you think the long end of sovereigns in those places are now mispriced given the fairly sharp move up that we've seen in yields in those areas?
I think they are. Yeah, I would agree with that statement. But I think you also have to look at, you know, at least if you look at the German Bund, for instance, should it go higher? Probably. And there's actually been a positive correlation in the last 7 or 8 years between the movement of the German Bund and European relative strength relative to U.S. equities. So, you know, actually the Bund moving up and that curve steepening a little bit, we think in the end is going to be a good thing for European equities, not necessarily something to fear.
Yeah, I guess just we've got 30 seconds or so. Do you just kind of wait till the dust settles here, or do you act today?
You know, I think it really depends on your time horizon, and that's not a question that I can answer for any of your listeners because we all have different horizons. For us, like I mentioned, you know, our risk management disciplines are unequivocal, unemotional, and technically driven because someone like me can get in there and build a great case for why we should be, you know, buying on a dip. But at the end of the day, you know, risk management is there to keep you safe and save you from yourself, as it were.